7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. It's Thursday night and shortly Ben Buckley, the chairman of the Kangaroos, is going to join us to tell us exactly how they're going to take the club forward in the light of the announcement that Rhys Shaw has resigned today from the Kangaroos. The trade news keeps coming and Scoop's got all the latest, but it would appear, Scoop, that the plea last night for common sense approach to the grand final has fallen on deaf ears and the barbecue idea won't be loosened up. In fact, at one stage today, there were suggestions that the drone squad had been activated. It's going to be very interesting to see how it pans out, but welcome to you.
Thank you, Jared. Good evening. Yes, your editorial last night clearly only backfired and made it worse. Going to be going over our houses. Lots going on.
Good news is, though, that the drone may not be functional because it's going to rain, and we've got a weather event coming on Saturday here.
Doesn't the Premier want us to meet in parks, watch the grand final?
It won't be too many people going to parks. 15 degrees maximum, 100% chance of rain.
So everyone just watching by themselves.
10 to 25 mils of rain during the day. An early thunderstorm just to get us underway. A southwest wind of 15 to 20 knots, turning southerly at up to 40 kilometres an hour, Scoop. So pretty average day. We're lucky it's going on up in Queensland. But perfect weather up there all the time,
yeah,
isn't
of course.
It?
Yeah.
Well, in fact, it's been raining up there for 2 days as well.
Thank you for that quick update from the Weather Bureau. And big news at GWS, we do have Jimmy Bartel on, who is not only a Geelong great, good to talk about the grand final, but also a director of football at GWS. Looks like the exodus is going to continue, not just with Jai Caldwell today, nominating Essendon on a huge five-year deal. I want to talk to you about the crazy money being spent on that young man soon. But also, Zach Langdon, it sounds like, is going to be requesting a trade.
Well, he's definitely going to the Eagles.
To West Coast. So that would be six players, I think, in the last 5 weeks. But it has been a significant day, Jared, for the North Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, they put out a press release today stating that the club and senior coach Rhys Shaw have come to a mutual decision to part ways effective immediately. I think we're all expecting this.
Yep.
But Ben Buckley, the chairman of the Kangaroos, has been good enough to give us some of his time to put his cards on the table. Welcome to you, Ben.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough time for the club and for Rhys. Can we begin by just an update on how he's going?
Yeah, it's been a challenging year, and it's been a challenging few weeks for everyone. You know, Rhys and the club agreed today to go our separate ways. When I say that, I mean we've got a huge admiration and huge respect, and frankly, we've got a great love for Rhys. He's been a very special person for our footy club over the course of the last couple of years that he's been involved. So, you know, but we respect the fact that Rhys wanted to come to this decision and you know, we'll be there to support him into the future.
When you look at how the club supported him as a young coach in a very unusual set of circumstances, do you think on reflection you will come to the view that maybe you let him down?
Look, I think I'd say a few things, Jared. First of all, everybody went into this season or went into the, you know, COVID period into a great unknown. Mm. I don't think anyone in football, I don't think anyone in Melbourne, I don't think anyone in Australia or frankly the world understood the challenges that we would all face going into, you know, hubs and bubbles and you know, periods where there were lockdowns and periods of quarantine and, you know, travelling from one part of the country to the other. I think, you know, everybody who went into that went into the great unknown. There's no doubt that if we had our time again or most clubs had their time again, and, you know, we'd probably all do things differently, but you know, where we put, you know, generally a great level of support around the team and around the coaching staff, and it was pretty consistent with what most other clubs did. But frankly, Jared, you know, we always learn from these things. I mean, if we don't, then we wouldn't progress. And if we had to go back and do it again, and if we have to go back into the same sort of environment as we do did this year, next year, then we would probably do things differently.
When did you begin to realise that things weren't that cohesive off the ground. And, I mean, you've parted ways with the two senior coaches around them, and the suggestions are that there was a bit of a fracturing of the coaching panel. Do you think you should have acted a bit more quickly, or wasn't it brought to your attention till it was too late in the day?
Well, no, I think, you know, as it relates to some of the things you just commented on there, clearly we came to some decisions post the season that we think would be in the best interest of the club, you know, for next year and years beyond. We made those decisions pretty quickly. We believe that the decisions will be right in the long run. Clearly, we've got another issue and another challenge to deal with right now, but I'm confident that we'll put a selection panel in place that will, you know, we'll look to get the best field assembled and ultimately select the best available coach. So, I don't want to go into the specifics of those decisions, but clearly we've made some decisions, and hard decisions, frankly, so that we can move forward in a more positive way.
Ben, you outlined the challenges that both you and the other 17 clubs have faced this year in what's been a COVID-affected year. Given those challenges, given that you had a new young coach, a new young head of football, do you think you erred, Ben, in neither of yourself nor the CEO, Ben Amafio, going to the hub?
Look, I'd say this. Things changed rapidly and regularly during the course of the year. At the first part of the year, I think the original intention was to go to Queensland for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And therefore, we limited the numbers of people going. Ben chose not to go at that point in time because, quite frankly, we were then likely to relocate to Tasmania, and Ben was going to join the team in Tasmania. From my own personal perspective, I've got a business to run and a family to manage, like everyone else has, so practically it was not possible for me to be up there for that length of time.
So why didn't the CEO go up after it was known? I mean, I understand your initial point, but lots of CEOs didn't go up initially, but then realised that they were going to be there for the best part of 4 months, that they went up after around 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't think we should make this just about the CEO. I think Ben has done an unbelievable job and is a fantastic executive, and he worked tirelessly and around the clock to ensure that the club was managed on a daily basis in many different areas. As I said before, if we were to do this again, we might do some things differently, and we'll learn from that. But Ben literally worked around the clock, as did many of our other executives, for a long period of time, and the club had many different things to manage during the course of the year.
So you're starting with a bit of a bare-boned look at the club, and we've made the point on the couch that it's not as bad as it would appear if you compare it to Brisbane, but a lot went right for Brisbane, and it would appear a lot's going to have to go right for the Kangaroos to rebound pretty quickly. Are you concerned, though, you've given Ben Brown away too quickly, basically saying he's available and diminishing his bartering power, or your bartering power?
Well, Jared, I think you'd respect the fact that it's not the position of the president of the club to get into talking about individual players and their decisions that get made by the football department. And Brady and Scotty Clayton and, Glenn Luff and others will make that decision in about the relevant players in due course. But what I would say is that we've got a very, very clear, concise, methodically put together list management strategy. And I've got great faith that if we execute that well, and I've got no reason to believe we won't, under the steerage of Scotty Clayton and his team, that we will match, new recruits, whether they come through the draft or free agency, to, an exciting group of young players and some experienced and very talented veterans. So I think what we've seen you can rebound pretty quickly if you get the right decisions made. And I've got great faith and confidence in the team that's now making those decisions.
Ben, North Melbourne fans will be delighted to hear that you've got a strategy, a list management strategy that you're putting into an action. Can you tell them what that is without giving away state secrets? Are you going to the draft for the next 5 years and building from within? Are you going after free agents? Are you going to trade for middle-aged guys in the prime of their career from other clubs? What is it?
Well, I think, Sam, you've been around the game long enough to know that it's never just one of those things. It always has to be a combination. I think I've seen many people say that in recent times. Clearly we've got a strong position in the draft this year, but you always look to add to that through, free agency or players that have been delisted from other clubs. So it's never one particular approach, but what I can say is I think the way the guys have gone through reviewing the profile of our list in terms of age and capability relative to where successful teams who have had sustained success are now and have come from, we've certainly got a clear approach to how we want to adopt our list management approach.
You're listening to Sports Day. The other voice you're hearing is Ben Buckley, who's the chairman of the North Melbourne Football Club. Ben, the club was strongly criticised for its lack of process when hiring its coach in Reece Shaw this time 12 months ago, or it was actually a little bit longer than that. Have you learnt from your mistakes, and what will be the process this year?
Well, I've heard that said quite often, Sam, and let me respond to that. There was a process put in place last year. We looked at a long list of candidates. Some of those candidates that were very high on our priority list chose not to pursue the opportunity. So they didn't ultimately get interviewed. And frankly speaking, we had a coach who had taken over the reins and was doing an outstanding job. I think Reece's winning percentage in the last half of last year and even the first two games of this year was about 70 to 75%. And our team, really responded well to Reece and the way he approached it and his relationship with the players. So, we had someone in effect doing a live interview in front of us, and ultimately he was the choice that we thought was best to take us forward. Can you learn from the process? Absolutely. There'll be things that we will do differently in this process that we may not have done last time, and we'll announce that in the next few days. So, I would say that there absolutely was a process in place last time. Can we learn from it? Can we learn from others? Absolutely, we will. We'll put that in place soon. I'll announce that in the next few days.
Will Paul Roos be part of that process?
Well, I won't comment on individuals who will be part of that. That would be remiss of me to do so, but clearly there will be some internal members from our board and our executive, as well as we will bring some people from outside of the club who have a huge range of experience, both in football and also understanding organisations and how you select people who will ultimately be successful.
And Ben, Eddie McGuire, I'm not sure if you saw the comments, I think it was a week ago on Channel 9, said that, I think his quote was, you should take the deal and go down to Tasmania where you play 11 games and then the rest of your games elsewhere. How do you respond to that to your North Melbourne members?
Well, I'll respond a couple of ways, Sam. One, I'm not sure what deal Eddie's referring to. There's nothing that's ever been presented to us about moving to Tasmania. So if it is, it certainly didn't come to the board table that we sit around. Frankly, that sort of conversation, which I didn't see those comments from Eddie, but if they have been made and others have picked up on them, I'd say they're just not right. I've said consistently and I've said repeatedly, North Melbourne will be based in North Melbourne. It will be based at Arden Street. We have a fantastic opportunity with the redevelopment that's going on in and around the Arden precinct. Over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, there'll be an additional 20 to 30,000 people living and working in the area. We've got some plans on foot to take advantage of that and be part of that community. So, as I've said to our fans and our members, Arden Street will always be our home.
And just moving on from that particular element, last night we spoke about this notion of a destination club, which has been filtering through footy for a fair period of time now. It's a transitory thing. You can have it and it can go in a blink of an eye, but it's very difficult to build, and you don't build it overnight. What is it? What attributes of the Kangaroo outfit do you see, Ben, that need to be highlighted to others and for you to build on to turn your club into what is now known as a destination club?
Well, I think you sort of hit it on the head in your opening comment there, Jared. I mean, sometimes one club might be more of a destination club than another because of where it sits in the cycle of where it sits on the ladder and its prospects on the ladder. It doesn't make the other clubs not worthy clubs or clubs that players shouldn't come to. I think as it relates to North Melbourne, we're a club with 150-year history. We've got a strong identity through the shin boner culture, which we strongly believe in and our players believe in. We've got a young, exciting list coming through. Wasn't our greatest year this year, but we've got a lot of exciting young players, and you mix that with some older, experienced players, and ultimately about getting, great characters into the club. That's and building a really strong, positive environment for players to come into. That's ultimately what will attract players, and we believe we can do that over the next couple of years.
What's the time frame for appointing the coach?
Yeah, good question. We will take the right amount of time to get it right. We won't rush. Obviously, there's some practical issues with the new season coming up, but we won't rush it. So over the course of the next, 4 or 5 weeks, we'll work through the process and hopefully make an appointment, broadly within that time frame.
Ben, it's a tough time for the club. You're the leader. It's falling on your shoulders, and we wish you well because it's a job that's going to need some strong leadership, some creative minds, and let's hope you can get it all done and get it done quickly.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for your time.
Ben Buckley, North Melbourne president, joining us here on Sports Day. And that was all for McDonald's. You get your free small fries and Coke with Macca's new mixed spicy or a Palmer burger. We're going to take a break. And Jimmy Bartel, the football manager of the Giants.
Another club in a different position to North Melbourne, but facing its own challenges.
Is that too strong?
If it's not a crisis, it'll do until one gets there.
We'll take a break. Jimmy Bartel after this. This is Sports Day for the all-new game-changing Kia Sorano. It has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. Jimmy Bartel coming after the news. So let's quickly run through Jimmy. What's happening with the trades scoop. You've got three options. You tell us exactly the club that this player is going to.
I didn't agree to this.
The likely club that this player is going to, or your answer is simply NFI. No flipping idea.
Okay. Jai Caldwell. NFI to all of them then.
Jai Caldwell, where's he off to?
Jai Caldwell will be joining the Essendon Football Club.
On big dollars.
On a 5-year deal.
5-year, yep.
At $550,000 a year.
How many games does he play?
11.
Gee, it's good coin.
Hasn't had more than 16 disposals in any of those 11 games.
Okay, so how do they rate him at the Giants? Are they
highly. No, they like him at the Giants.
So it's good pickup, even though they've had to overpay him. Or if it's an average over a period of time, will the Bombers be saying we got him cheap because he's now worth in the third, fourth, and fifth year, he's worth $750,000?
Yeah, Essendon will deny, but every club has that right too. But I find that, Jared, I don't know about you, this is a personal opinion, I find that a staggering amount of money.
Well, he's early, but if he's in the best 15 midfielders in the comp in 3 years' time, you'll be saying he's getting unders. Nevertheless, they're the risks you have to take. Brad Crouch?
He'll be joining St Kilda on a 4-year deal with an option for a fifth.
So an absolute. Isaac Smith, where's he likely to go? Okay, I'll go back to that because I've heard $850,000. for Brad Crouch.
No.
Surely that can't be right.
No, well, if that's true, Adelaide will get pick two.
Right.
Which they won't.
So we'll find out what he's getting paid by the pick that goes their way via compensation.
Yep.
Where is Isaac Smith going if he's going anywhere?
Melbourne.
So the likely club, Melbourne, not guaranteed?
Likely.
Okay. Ben Brown, likely?
Well, he's been, I think he had a virtual meeting with Simon Goodwin. So they've had a, I would say that he's definitely leaving North Melbourne. I would say his likely club is Melbourne.
So he goes into Melbourne. Tom McDonald's going out, likely?
I still think likely he'll leave. I know he's got 2 years left at good money. I think I said earlier in the year, GWS, I still think they're a team that's looking at him. I think the Pies will look at him as well.
Well, I think they desperately need a Tom McDonald now as a key defender.
Pies or Giants?
Giants.
Okay, what about Port?
Port could deal with him. Yep. Bulldogs could deal with him. Speaking of which, Josh Dunkley.
Speaking of which, Mitch Hannon has, by the way, today asked for a trade to Western Bulldogs.
Okay.
Josh Dunkley being courted by Essendon.
Yep.
Dogs want to keep him.
Couldn't let him go, sure.
I wouldn't have thought so, although he's not a great kick.
Oh, he's a pretty good player to me. Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, definitely on the trade table. Has a year left with, I think, if he plays a certain amount of games, I think triggers 2 more years.
Yeah.
I think the Sydney Swans are having a look. I think he will leave Fremantle.
Okay. Likely club? Sydney Swans.
I don't know.
NFI. Connor Blakely?
Has been put up for trade. Don't know anything more.
Okay. Now, there's been a lot of rumours and innuendo. You have thrown this up a couple of times. What do you know about Clayton Oliver?
Jared, is he settled or not? Every time you ask me about Clayton Oliver, I end up getting social media abuse from Melbourne fans and said, shut up. You know what you're talking about.
Has he spoken to any other club?
I believe that he has, yes.
Which club?
Well, he's been linked to one all the whole time, so you can put two and two together.
Who has he spoken to at that club?
I don't know.
Your nose just grew.
I'm not saying anything. He will be at Melbourne. He will be at Melbourne.
Take that to the bank?
Yes, you can take it to the bank.
Okay.
This is Sports Day. More after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Kia and Red Energy. Strong start to the program. Lots of feedback about the interview with Ben Buckley. We'll get that up on our socials and also our podcast as quickly as we can. Tough time for North Melbourne, but Jared, it's been a tough time for Greater Western Sydney. That's putting it lightly, to be honest, because at the moment, it's nothing short of a player exodus. Zach Langdon is on the cusp of a move to the West Coast Eagles. He's going to follow out the door of Jai Caldwell, who's going to the Bombers on a 5-year deal, Jeremy Cameron, who's going to Geelong, Zach Williams, who's going to Carlton, Aiden Corr is going to North Melbourne, and Jackson Hatley, who's going to Adelaide. Now, that has happened before in previous years, probably not to that extent, but that's when the Giants have been constantly making top four. It hasn't happened this year, so they're under more of a spotlight.
Yeah, and it comes on the back of a disappointing result. Go from grand final to finishing, I think it was in 11th position on the back of the last month when the skipper was omitted from the side. And he was the big signing last year on a very extensive contract on big coin. But luckily, we have got the football manager or the football director of the Giants, James Bartel. Who
we've also got on to talk about his Cats, by the way, and the grand final. Must be said. It's not as though we've gone for a GWS to get this interview.
So there's small conflict because we want answers about the Giants, but we want a good insight into the Cats. Welcome to you, Jimmy. A mixed portfolio tonight.
Yeah, very much so. And I appreciate the formalities too, Jared, with the James as well. So
following in my footsteps, Jimmy.
Yes, yeah, no worries, Samuel.
Well, let's give you a formal question. Are the Giants, James, in crisis?
No, not in crisis at all. There's still a lot of talent on that list. Yeah, some players, and it happens to us each year at the moment. And I guess that's it can be looked upon as a positive. We've had a lot of high draft picks, and we've turned a lot of them into good players. But you can't maintain them all, and that thing called the salary cap forces you to pick and choose which ones you can afford to hold on to, but the good thing is we've received pretty good value when they've left the club.
Yes, look, I've got some sympathy for the salary cap situation you're in, and it's probably now not anywhere near as bad because Jeremy Cameron has decided to part ways, but you end up having to overpay early to keep players because they're only young kids and you're paying on potential. But it sets a standard, and then, you know, all of a sudden Canelio wants a similar money, and half a dozen others who we don't need to name are all on big, big money. And then Cola gets taken away, and you weren't to know that. And then you've got a COVID crisis, and all of a sudden you've got everybody coming to free agency. So it's a real challenge for the club, and to keep it together is going to take some serious leadership.
Yeah, you're spot on. And look, every club has got its difficulties. We're not whinging or complaining about it, but what you just named and listed, they're probably our biggest challenges at the moment. And I think it goes with the four northern clubs. We'd love a never-ending talent pool like Geelong Falcons on our doorstep, where eventually you can just draw players back after they've had pretty good careers elsewhere. Back to like the Geelong, they can always draw back a Dangerfield, Dalhouse, these sort of guys, even Jeremy Cameron, from regional Victoria. We don't have that at the moment, and that's just the nature of 100 years football history in Victoria versus 10 years in New South Wales. And I think that's where the four northern clubs, it's our challenge. We'd love the AFL to spend and do more in development, so then we can create a list where 50% are made up from New South Wales or Queensland. But that's going to take some time, and you touched on it. We're going to have different stages. We've had to overpay for talent, but that means you have to let some go as well.
I always thought it was a really poor decision by the AFL Commission to give you the Riverina and then take it away.
Ridiculous,
given that you won
decision.
Three games in a row.
And it's a bit, not that, speaking too much for the Swans, but you think of the amount of kids that went through the Swans Academy, and they had two good players and everyone threw their arms up. It was almost saying to the broader football community, you can do the academies, but don't do them too well.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, with Heaney and Mills I'm talking about.
Yep.
I think ideally, if you want a true national competition, you want an even mix of talent coming from all across Australia. We still, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I'd still say, 70% of kids come out of the TAC Cup. I wouldn't be over-exaggerating with that. And then you have a fair bit from South Australia and Western Australia.
We're speaking to Jimmy Bartel. We're just about to preview the grand final with his Cats. Just last one from me on the Giants, Jimmy. I think you can make a case for some of the players leaving half expected. Like, Caldwell's been offered ridiculous money at Essendon. Hakeley's going home. Williams been offered big money at Carlton. Cameron, I reckon, is the one that really hurts. He's a full forward. They don't grow on trees. But he's not leaving for money. And he's always said that he's very happy at the Giants and love the club. So it's just sort of stumped a few people. Why do you think he's left, Jimmy?
He's leaving for money. He's still getting compensated really well, and he'll be compensated really well with the Giants when we match the offer. So it's a unique situation. We can do that. We put a good offer to him. There's still a fair bit of water to go under the bridge. The Cats to satisfy our needs as well. But look, he's made that decision. It was off the back of an average year or a poor year by his standards. That might have played a bit of part in his decision making. He might have wanted a fresh start. The Cats have wooed him and done a good job, but only Jeremy knows why he wants to go to the Cats. But we're now just in the position of looking for the best opportunity for the Giants.
Would you recommend, if the Cats were a little bit intractable and didn't stump up a couple of first rounders, would you recommend that you've got to cauterise the bleeding and put him into the draft?
Oh, look, there's a fair bit to go. We're still, Geelong have got a grand final and things like that. How it shapes out. Look, draft picks, we've got draft picks coming anyway for Zach Williams and Aiden Corr and Hatley and now Caldwell. So, ideally our situation, how it looks, is not to go to the draft with 10 picks again. We'd love a good mix, but, let the Cats play in their grand final. And then probably Wellesley and Jase McCartney will work out something fair and reasonable. There's always that option, though. I'm not dismissing what you said as far as sending him to the draft. That's clearly part of the negotiation.
Speaking of Cats and grand finals, those things go hand in hand when you come on the radio. Are they going to beat the Tigers, Jimmy?
I think so. I don't have my Cats pyjamas on, Sam. I've been big on the Cats since about the halfway point of the year. Actually, when the first break happened, the 80-odd days, I thought Geelong were coming right back into the fold. I think if it was, call it season normal, I think they still would have been a final side. But, the shorter quarters, they're well organised. They've got a very stable side. A lot of players are above 50 games. They've got that extra experience. And they're disciplined. We know that about Geelong. They're well coached. And I thought they'd just, this sort of season is made for them. And they've proven that. They've got different ways they can defend and different ways they can attack, and not many sides can do that.
Who wins the Bartel medal, the one you won?
I think actually if the Cats win, it'll be Tom Stewart. A bit of my thinking is defenders actually pile really well in the Norm Smith. You could have made a good case for Hooley being a Norm Smith medalist. Johannesson, McLeod won a couple.
Yep.
You know, they sort of, when an opposition holds the side well and a half-back type gets, you know, 20-plus, they come right into calculation. Stewart had 26 last week, and he probably won't be manning Colajasny. Colajasny will probably be manning Dustin Martin, sorry. Yeah. So he could rack up a fair bit of ball and, you know, set up the Cats.
It's the big challenge for Jade Colajasny. He's got to make sure he doesn't be caravanned by Dusty. It's the big challenge for him, but we're looking forward to a great game, Jimmy. Appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Jimmy Bartel there. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You can give us a call on the Harcourts open line if you'd like to have some contribution to the program. If you want to talk real estate, give them a call. But the number is 13 13 32. Give us a call if you've got something to contribute. But for Tyre Power, they're keeping the Australian public safe on the roads in difficult times. Tyrepower.com.au, which you'll find all the specials. You've got an update for a scoop on Tom Hawkins.
He's playing.
100% playing.
Yeah, he's playing. He's COVID-free. He's cough-free. He's 100% right to go. So he will play. Looks like there won't be any changes at either team. So both teams, no changes in a prelim and no changes in a grand final unless there is some late surprise. The big trade news of the day, apart from Brad Crouch confirming that he is going to St Kilda, is that Jai Caldwell has requested a trade to Essendon, offering...
What did St Kilda offer him?
4 years at less than 500.
Okay.
And so he's getting 5 years at 550.
Well, it's a positive for Essendon. I mean, they may have slightly overreached financially, but they've got a good kid in the door, and that's a win.
Yeah, and I think the Saints getting Crouch was really the last.
Can you give me an update on Sean Higgins? Because here you have the Cats, who may well be premiers in 2 days' time, arguably going to get Jeremy Cameron.
Well, yeah, they've got him. Yeah.
And if you throw in Sean Higgins as well,
yep,
which I'm told may or may not happen.
I still think he'll play for Geelong.
He goes to Geelong. Jeez, it's a pretty formidable operation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, just, yeah, it's ridiculous, really. But this is what Geelong do. They're a strong footy club. And just quickly, in the NRL, Cam Smith has said today that he will still have the physical and mental drive to play beyond this season. It's widely thought that he'd retire after the grand final.
Does that mean he's going to...
Well, the Broncos.
He's going to head up to either the Titans or the Broncos?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope he just retires if he wins. But who knows? Why would he keep playing, do you reckon, Jared?
Maybe because he feels like he's still got the physical and mental drive beyond this season.
This is Sports Day. We're back after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day. For McDonald's, get your free small fries and Coke with Macca's new McSpicy or Palmer Burger. John's on the line on the Harcourts open line. Welcome to the program, John.
Hello, Jared.
I'm all right.
Look, I listened to the Ben Buckley interview. I mean, this guy's had responsible jobs in the league and that, and I thought I was listening to either Andrews or Brett Sutton. My God, that was frightening to be a North Melbourne supporter now.
Why do you say that, John?
Oh, you're so hesitant with... maybe it's... I don't knock someone, but I heard more ums in my life. Every question you asked him...
What did you want to hear from him, John? More importantly, what did you want to hear?
I didn't mind them getting rid of Brad Scott, because they'll go... But poor old Reece, as I said, I'm a Sydney Swan supporter. Surely he wasn't equipped to be the coach. And now all of a sudden he's been ditched. I just don't think he's so totally involved with the club as he should be.
Well, I think just to, I guess, correct you, Johnny, he certainly wasn't ditched, Reece Shaw. He was, they've parted ways for essentially mental health reasons, and now they're, you know, you could argue that maybe they didn't do a strong enough process, but all that is behind them. What we need out of North Melbourne now is some clear direction and some excitement to come into the place, and that's going to be in the hands of the coach, the new man.
Who would you have on your list if you were putting one together, Jared? Question without notice.
Well, I reckon you'd have Voss, clearly. Everyone knows that. You'd have a crack at him. Ross Lyon would be my go-to person first up.
Probably the first call, isn't it?
Adam Kingsley.
Yep.
David Noble, I'd try and extract him out of Brisbane.
Yep.
I'd think about Mark Williams. There's something about Mark Williams that I love in a coach, and I'd be, despite
Choco,
his
really?
Age, I'd be ringing Choco up and seeing what he could bring. He might shake the place up and make it the destination club. Scotty Burns, Rob Harvey, Jamie Graham is hugely touted over in the West, as is Daniel Pratt, who's a former
kangaroo
and been in the West Coast system for a long, long time. And I know Justin Leppich has stepped away from football for 12 months, but I reckon Lepper has still got a good coach in career left in him.
You
He's been in a really good system for a long time. He's had a go at the top. He would have learned a lot from his time at Brisbane. And he may just, if he was given an opportunity to be a senior coach again, not just a senior assistant, he might decide that he'll put off that 12-month hiatus.
So they're going to go into the trade period in the draft without a senior coach?
Oh, that's happened a few times before.
I know, but it's not ideal.
No, of course it's not ideal.
Hard to convince blokes to come to your club.
Some people would say it's not ideal when the senior coach puts his bib in.
Yeah, that's true.
Melbourne Storm have been doing it pretty effectively without the senior coach having much of a say.
Are you having the grand final preview off tomorrow?
Thanks for that. I didn't.
Andrew Bensley to join us tomorrow. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. 7 minutes past seven. Huge hour coming up, and we're going to start shortly with the Port Adelaide season review.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so used to just complaining at home about the score review and the arc. We will also replay our discussion from earlier about Ben Buckley, which, fair to say, Jared, was relatively strong.
Yeah, well, it's been a very disappointing finish to the season, hasn't it? Both on the field and then off the field, the circumstances surrounding Reece are really unfortunate.
It's more than just that, though, isn't it, Jared? And I hope you don't feel like I went too hard with some of my questions to Ben, but this has got so much more to do with just what happened with Reece. This is, you know, what they've done with this club. Why Ben Buckley, why Ben Amafio didn't go up to the hub, you know, when they had a green coach and a footy manager that was brand new. There are just so many decisions that have been made that have ultimately left to this club, in your words, having a disastrous year.
Yeah, I don't think, though, Ben Amafio would have been able to see through some of the issues. I mean, you had some senior people up there.
But he should have seen
some. And those senior people didn't gel, it would appear, with the coach.
Agreed.
So,
but you need leadership around that, Jared, even if you don't think you can fix it all at once.
No, I understand that, but you know, I would have thought that Jade Rawlings was senior enough. Mm. I mean, it's not rocket science. I'm not sure what they would have been able to do if there were no problems. And the question is, how long does it take before the jungle drums start beating?
Yeah.
And that mail comes down now. You got Brady Rawlings, who's been around football for a long time. He's there.
Been at four clubs, yeah.
You got Jade Rawlings, been around footy for a long time. He's there. Now, he's not there at the present time, and neither is Heath Scotland. So the thing didn't work not because of seniority. It didn't work because of the mix of people, it would appear.
Anyway, we'll get to that interview in full later in the hour, but we are going to start with our last. Oh, we'll probably do season reviews of the grand finalists, to be honest. But the last of the preliminary finalists, we did Brisbane earlier in the week, but Port Adelaide to, Jared, in your own words earlier in the week, really could have beaten Richmond had it just been for a couple of moments, in the words of Simon Black. It was a real tight contest.
It was. They got off to a pretty good start, then let Richmond get the game under their control in the second half. They really did come out well in the second half, Richmond, and Port Adelaide didn't take full control of the game and didn't get full reward for their efforts in the first quarter. And they'll look back on that last quarter. They panicked in the last quarter.
You reckon?
Oh, absolutely.
So lack of experience or experience won out, do you think?
Well, it depends on what you call experience. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that have played a lot of footy in that team.
True.
And some of the more experienced players were the ones that made the Blues. So I think the experience that counts is the situational experience. And, you know, not many of those guys have been in big finals where you've got to play the same way and keep your cool. And, you know, they were playing as if the long bomb to Snake Baker was the way to go. And they just kept kicking it back to Richmond.
Mm.
Tom Lynch was in the forward line by himself. They kicked it to him. Big Nankervis was in the forward line a half a dozen times. Their forward line, Port Adelaide's, they kicked it to him. I mean, he dominated that game when it was up for grabs. So they'll be disappointed with that. They'll learn from that. And it really was the one that got away in many respects. It's twice now Ken Hinckley's been to the prelim final, about 6 or 7 years apart, but he's had a great year. And so have Port Adelaide.
They have, and they've had a lot of players have great years. I mean, you look at Boak, who has basically reinvented himself, could have won a Brownlow medal had it not been for the dominance of Lachie Neale. Charlie Dixon had, well, at least a very good first half of the year.
Yeah, all Australian, but, you know.
You thought he could have done more.
I thought he could have done more, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Why do you say that?
Well, because I just don't think he got the goal average strongly enough, high enough. He was about 20-odd behind Dustin Martin.
Tom Hawkins. Was he that far behind?
He was a fair way behind.
Okay.
We'll get the numbers from, you know.
Scragger,
the super producer who's just winded his way back in behind the controls.
I noticed that.
But, I mean, he had a very good year, all Australian, but they just didn't get it done on the day, and that's a problem. I think even Ken Hinckley, you know, just kept on bashing away with the same guys in the middle of the ground when it looked as if they needed some pace around the ball. Against Richmond.
Who would you
put Rosie in there?
Yep.
Put Butters in there. Couldn't get a kick on the night. So stick him in the middle. Give him an option. Give him another chop out. Put Dersmer in there. I mean, just give us a little bit more of a different look at it. But it was almost looked as if it was a bit of a set and forget situation. So, I mean, I'd like to be in Port Adelaide's shoes right now. They're gaining some experience. They're getting better. They need another key defender. They got away with it this year to a large degree. But, you know, and that's why I think Tom McDonald's a bloody good fit for them.
Yep, as a backman.
As a fullback.
Yeah.
Or,
which is where he should play. You and I both agree with that.
I think he should. I mean, the more you look at the
good year. And everyone around him had good years.
I'll tell you another
one. And it worked.
Out of left field. I'll tell you who could be an unbelievably good fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
Now, Jesse Hogan's got his off-field issues. We know that.
Justin Longmuir has talked about the option of playing him as a key defender.
Yeah, well, by goodness. He is a gun player, and I just hope.
The footy well, got good strength, he's quick.
He's a gun player.
Aerial.
And I think the Swans are talking to him. I hope they nail him because he's a player worth taking a risk on.
I personally think players like that are always worth the risk.
Yeah.
I always thought Harley Bennell was worth the risk. You know, but
if you get him for nothing. I mean, what didn't cost Fremantle nothing, they're tipping him out. He's had some off-field issues. Okay. But I reckon.
I think his manager was trying to get Freo to sign him on $1.1 million a year.
Was he?
And that's why they bailed out. He ended up earning, I think, a contract just shy of $600.
Mm.
Well, it's a big difference, isn't it? But I hope Jesse Hogan plays good footy somewhere because he's too good a talent.
Well, this is what the opportunity for next year is. You got Ben Buckley, we've just spoken to about Ben Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Brown. I mean, he may well have just had one bad year.
Had so three very good
years. Let's say he goes back to having a really good year. You could pick up Ben Brown and Jesse Hogan.
For nothing.
Basically for bugger all.
Yep.
And turn your club around.
Yep.
In the space of two draft picks. Gee, there's a fair bit of talent out there when you think about it. Tom McDonald, another one. I mean, most of the time these guys aren't available.
Mm.
The issue is now they are available. Can you afford them? Can you convince them to come to your club? But imagine picking up Ben Brown, Tom McDonald, and Jesse Hogan.
Mm.
In 1 year.
Yep. For not much.
Whew.
Jared, talk to me about the achievement of what Ken Hinckley did this year. I know that he would have wanted to make a grand final.
Well, he did most of it last year.
Okay.
So let's just break it down into the reality of the situation. They finished ninth last year.
Yep.
They were going inside forward 50, better than anybody else, but just not scoring. So their numbers were fantastic coming into the finals. They just got a better forward system. Charlie Dixon had a much better year, as we know. A couple of young kids stood up. Brett Ebert had a pretty good year, but said goodbye. Travis Boak. So all in all, if I'm a Port Adelaide supporter, I'm looking to go one better next year, and that's get to the grand final.
Yeah, I guess.
And they've no reason why they shouldn't. Unless they have a bad run with injury, there's no reason why they shouldn't.
But you think they need to still be aggressive in the trade market and get another key defender in?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
I think so. I mean, they've got their first two picks from last year who haven't played. One of them's name's Bergman. He's actually a kid that used to go to the same school as me down at St. Bede's. Ralphie Bergman's young kid, who's a pretty good player. Haven't even seen him yet. So he's their number one pick from last year. They've got some kids coming through.
Do you think they need a bit of midfield depth, Jared? You talked about, you know, that.
No, I think they got it there.
They're using the same guys.
Yeah, but
there's no guarantee Boak's going to have. In fact, he probably won't have.
But Rosie can go in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
Butters can go into the middle.
I know, but they're still young.
They are still young.
You don't want to throw another.
I saw Shai Bolton go into the middle this year.
Yeah.
Who's about 78 kilos. I mean, he's a gun.
Yes, star.
So Rosie is just as good a player, if not better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Stick him in the guts.
Yep.
So out of 10, Port Adelaide season, based on expectations of where you had them?
9.
Yeah, it has to be a 9, doesn't it?
Had to win the premiership
can't
for
be,
10.
Can't be a 10.
But a bloody good year from Ken Hinckley and Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and to think what this time 12 months ago, Jared, we were talking about Ken Hinckley being on the chopping block again.
Yeah, 6 months ago,
with,
in fact.
With Koshy looking over
it. That was a good story, Koshy. But it was a good result. Would have been an unbelievable effort to get through, but they held it together. They probably handled the virus better than any club.
Which you said on January 20 of this year would be the team that won the premiership.
Yep.
Geez, you were close.
Wasn't far away.
This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. More after this. Ben Buckley coming up later in the hour.
Okay, time for us now to cross codes. Our mates down at Sports Day Victoria.
You know, it's my favourite segment, Badge.
It's a huge week for Victorians. It's been a bit of a bummer of a year, but a huge week because the AFL Grand Final is on, but it's not in Victoria. Scoot McClure and Jared Healy. How's that going, gentlemen, Jared, with the Grand Final in at the Gabba?
Jared, are these the two guys that rode off the Storm after round one? Isn't that what happened? They couldn't win it?
They're the ones that used to be regulars on the program until their ratings spiked. It's great to have them back on the program. Boys, look, we don't really mind sharing it around. In fact, I've got a worldly view that we should give the great game to all states. And luckily, this time around, it's Brisbane. The bad news is, though, the Lions didn't get across the line. How you guys been coping with the Melbourne Storm about to take the title back to Melbourne once again?
Well, they're playing against Sats, former club.
Yep.
They've kind of been adopted by Queenslanders as their fourth club. But there's not a lot of love for them in New South Wales.
Mm. There's a lot of hatred.
They've been so successful. Yeah, I love them. I really admire what they do. And he's a former teammate of mine, Craig Bellamy, their coach. And they're going great. It's going to be a hell of a game. It's hard to pick.
We were doing this last night with Frank Panisi. And just wondering, are Melbourne Storm the most successful professional football club in this country since they actually came to being? I mean, they have won or been in a premiership almost, it seems, every year
about a
decade.
Five flags and four runners-up since the
2000s? It's an incredible record. I'm not sure who could challenge that. Hawthorn have been probably our most successful side. Who would be the second most successful side in rugby league?
Oh, overall, it'd be the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
But since Melbourne Storm's been there, the last
1998 was when the transformation of the competition, which now became the NRL, back in, and they came in the same year. So over that modern period, it would be the Melbourne Storm. Outside of them would probably be the Brisbane Broncos.
No, not in that period. Brisbane won a couple of comps early.
Yeah.
And then 2006.
Yeah, but also from a membership basis and...
No, we're talking about success on the field.
Yeah.
Roosters have won three.
Roosters have won three.
But yeah, it's Melbourne a fair way ahead of the rest. Manly were great for a fair while.
The Melbourne Storm been getting any, other than you talking to Frank Panisi, they been getting any other airtime in Victoria?
Yeah, a fair bit, wouldn't you say, Jared? I mean, the Storm are a much-loved part of this city.
Yeah, very much embraced down here. They're part and parcel of the sporting culture down here. Everyone knows their position. Craig Bellamy's a gun cam. I mean, we're lucky that we've got an iconic side. I mean, I'm not sure how it's going to roll, whether or not if they drop off the perch to a degree, but I think a bit like the Sydney Swans, they could have two or three average years, and everybody understands they're our team, and they do us proud almost every year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, your grand final. Looking forward to it. Port Adelaide up against North Melbourne should be an absolute ripper on Saturday afternoon. It's been huge.
Oh, very good. Very good. You see, Jared, they're trying to say that no one cares about it.
Jared, they have to try something because, unfortunately, their great leader, St. Peter, who has come up with a lot of good ideas this year.
Unless this is not the out of 10 idea, is it?
Has finished the season.
Oh, no.
With the biggest blooper of all time. I mean, how could he understand? How could he expect the umpires to rate every player out of 10 on the ground and come?
No, we don't do that.
Come up with you're going to leave it to people in the media.
No, see, you're still the game that allows the umpires to pick the best players on the field, which is so archaic. It's ridiculous.
You guys just leak it 4 hours before it gets announced.
No, ours is actually picked by former players and media.
Well, we've been down that track.
They thought that was a fairer
And that is a horrendous system.
Well, we found that the nicest person that always shakes the hand of the referee after the game usually ended up with what was called the Rothmans medal. We had a couple of clangers,
didn't we, Sats? There was a bit of dead silence when the Rothmans medal winner was announced.
Hey, Badge, has Sats actually managed any time in the studio at all this week?
He is in demand.
I assume that it's just catchy after catchy after event this week.
It's been amazing, and I'm sort of contrasting it last night, I was saying to Sats last night, last year because the Raiders were in, my phone went crazy. I haven't had a call. I'm ringing media myself saying, does anyone want to talk to an ex-Raiders player? But Sats has just been absolutely flat stick. He's going to be, he'll be on Fox Sports.
How many times has that tackle been replayed?
Oh, plenty this week.
Not sure what that noise was. I thought it was leading to something, but it was leading to a very flat day. We've got a really flat day coming up tomorrow. Our Grand Premier, he's had a very average year, our Premier. He's decided to continue on with a public holiday that was introduced because we were having a grand final and he owed somebody a favour.
But it's good. I mean, it's good you got a public holiday because you get to stay at home.
Yeah. Just what all our parents of kids that have just returned to school want.
Oh, you seriously got a public holiday tomorrow and no parade?
No one's working, but we're having a public holiday anyway. And the poor buggers that are paying these people, they're not even open, but they're still paying.
Well, can I tell you, the AFL clubs that have been in Queensland for the X amount of months, it's been like schoolies on steroids. There's been that many people up here from the AFL. Now, your little sidekick there, Scoop McClure, when it was announced the grand final was going to Queensland, I sent a simple message to him. I said, listen, we'll take over from here.
Yep.
And he never answered me back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you got him running scared, Sats. Yeah. We were going to tackle him.
Well, I had a plane booked for him, but then he realised that he was going to be in vicinity of you guys landing one on his chin. And so he actually became more dedicated to the cause again.
There is a long list of people that I'm scared of, and Sats doesn't actually make it.
The fine print was it was a one-way ticket.
Hey, guys, in all seriousness, if Richmond win and Dusty Martin gets another Norm Smith medal, where does he sit amongst the grand final greats?
Well, he's already the greatest for mine, the greatest finals player. I sort of declared him last year. As far as the grand final itself, we've had a number of people win two Norm Smith medals. If he won three, will he be a standout as for grand final greatness? But you have a look at his record, guys. He has had one bad game. I'm talking one bad game, and he went in with that with an injury. So this bloke is a machine, and I've never seen anything like a bloke who can produce best on grounds or, you know, in the top five players on the ground year in, year out for about 6 years now.
Who would have been the greatest NRL big game player of the last 15 years?
Oh, Darren Lockyer was a real closer in big games, in Origin games and grand finals and tests. He's the closer. He just got it done that many times. But Cameron Smith, right up there with him, and the likes of Joey Johns and Brad Fittler in sort of most recent memory. But Gary Ablett, how's he going to be remembered after his last game? Win, lose or draw, will that make a difference?
Well, he's heading to what we have as the highest honour. He'll go become a legend. It'll take him his 5 or 6 years. He'll go in as a member of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of course.
And then he'll be inducted as a legend. It might take him 10 or 15 years. But his old man is yet to become a legend. For various reasons, more off the field than on the field. Well, only off the field rather than on the field. But it's been an amazing family. I mean, you've got one guy who's, you know, in most people's best three player of all time and another guy who is arguably the greatest modern-day player of the last 20 years. So what a family.
Yeah, outstanding.
Who's going to win your game?
Oh, well, I think Penrith Panthers, Badge.
I think Storm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really split. Yep. The Storm's got a lot more big game experience, but this Panthers, they are just they're fearless. The young players playing for Penrith.
What about you guys?
Well, we're a bit
split as well.
We're a bit split. I'm going for the Cats. No, I'm not. I'm going for the Tigers.
I'm going for the Cats.
You're going for the Cats.
That's mainly because I just don't think I could actually handle internally Richmond winning third in 4 years.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those premierships. Richmond. Once were a very, very arrogant club in the 70s, and then they came ninth about 12 years in a row, just missing out on the finals, and they learned a fair bit of humility. And in fact, they're a pretty good club right now, but they're just becoming a bit too successful for everybody's liking.
Right, well, so we'll take it from you guys. It's likely Richmond upset would be the Cats. So, yep. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope it's a great grand final. I hope it's a and seriously, geez, are people going to be a little bit tipsy given that they're used to a 2 o'clock bounce, and now it's what time is it going to be? 6:30,
7:30 Vic time.
But the good news is we put in a big appeal last night on air to the Premier to relax the rules, to come up with a number around 5 to 10, so we could all enjoy together in backyards. And he has responded, that I can tell you. And unfortunately, his response was to activate the air wing. So there's going to be drones flying all over the place, making sure nobody gets out and enjoys themselves.
Especially over your place.
Indeed. It's going to be it's a very interesting place to live down here in Starlug, Victoria.
Thank you much, Colonel Clink. And we better get out of here. You're listening to Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Red Energy, 100% Australian electricity and gas. Thanks, gentlemen, from Sports Day, Vic. Great talking
to
you
boys.
Again.
Have a good year, boys.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's for the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento, which has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. If you're just tuning in to Sports Day for the first time, earlier in the show, Jared and I caught up with Ben Buckley, the chairman of North Melbourne. Reece Shaw and the club parting ways effective immediately. It has been a significant month for the North Melbourne Football Club, and we put some pretty hard questions to Ben Buckley.
Yep. But Ben Buckley, the chairman of the Kangaroos, has been good enough to give us some of his time to put his cards on the table. Welcome to you, Ben.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough time for the club and for Reece. Can we begin by just an update on how he's going?
Yeah, it's been a challenging year, and it's been a challenging few weeks for everyone. You know, Reece and the club agreed today to go our separate ways. When I say that, I mean we've got a huge admiration and huge respect, and frankly, we've got a great love for Reece. He's been a very special person for our footy club over the course of the last couple of years that he's been involved. So, you know, but we respect the fact that Reece wanted to come to this decision, and you know, we'll be there to support him into the future.
When you look at how the club supported him as a young coach in a very unusual set of circumstances, do you think on reflection you will come to the view that maybe you let him down?
Look, I think I'd say a few things, Jared. First of all, everybody went into this season or went into the, you know, COVID period into a great unknown. Mm. I don't think anyone in football, I don't think anyone in Melbourne, I don't think anyone in Australia or frankly the world understood the challenges that we would all face going into, you know, hubs and bubbles and you know, periods where there were lockdowns and periods of quarantine and, you know, travelling from one part of the country to the other. I think, you know, everybody who went into that went into the great unknown. There's no doubt that if we had our time again or most clubs had their time again, and, you know, we probably all do things differently, but, you know, we put, you know, generally a great level of support around the team and around the coaching staff, and it was pretty consistent with what most other clubs did. But frankly, Jared, you know, we always learn from these things. I mean, if we don't, then we wouldn't progress. And if we had to go back and do it again, and if we have to go back into the same sort of environment as we did this year, next year, then we would probably do things differently.
When did you begin to realise that things weren't that cohesive off the ground? And, I mean, you've parted ways with the two senior coaches around them, and the suggestions are that there was a bit of a fracturing of the coaching panel. Do you think you should have acted a bit more quickly, or wasn't it brought to your attention till it was too late in the day?
Well, no, I think, you know, as it relates to some of the things you just commented on there, clearly we came to some decisions post the season that we think would be in the best interest of the club, you know, for next year and years beyond. We made those decisions pretty quickly. You know, we believe that the decisions will be right in the long run. Clearly, we've got another issue and another challenge to deal with right now, but I'm confident that we'll put a selection panel in place that will, you know, we'll look to get the best field assembled and ultimately select the best available coach. So, you know, I don't want to go into the specifics of those decisions, but clearly we've made some decisions and hard decisions, frankly, so that we can move forward in a more positive way.
Ben, you outlined the challenges that both you and the other 17 clubs have faced this year in what's been a COVID-affected year. Given those challenges, given that you had a new young coach, a new young head of football, do you think you erred, Ben, in neither of yourself nor the CEO, Ben Amafio, going to the hub?
Look, I'd say this. You know, things changed rapidly and regularly during the course of the year. At the first part of the year, I think the original intention was to go to Queensland for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And therefore, we limited the numbers of people going. Ben chose not to go at that point in time because, quite frankly, we were then likely to relocate to Tasmania, and Ben was going to join the team in Tasmania. From my own personal perspective, you know, I've got a business to run and a family to manage like everyone else has. So practically it was not possible for me to be up there for that length of time.
So why didn't the CEO go up after it was known? I mean, I understand your initial point, but lots of CEOs didn't go up initially but then realised that they were going to be there for the best part of 4 months, that they went up after around 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't think we should make this just about the CEO. I think Ben has done an unbelievable job and is a fantastic executive, and he worked tirelessly and around the clock to ensure that the club was managed on a daily basis in many different areas. As I said before, if we were to do this again, we might do some things differently, and we'll learn from that. But Ben literally worked around the clock, as did many of our other executives, for a long period of time, and you know, the club had many different things to manage during the course of the year.
So you're starting with a bit of a bare-boned look at the club, and we've made the point on the couch that it's not as bad as it would appear if you compare it to Brisbane, but a lot went right for Brisbane, and it would appear a lot's going to have to go right for the Kangaroos to rebound pretty quickly. Are you concerned, though, you've given Ben Brown away too quickly, basically saying he's available and diminishing his bartering power or your bartering power?
Well, Jared, I think you'd respect the fact that it's not the position of the president of the club to get into talking about individual players and their decisions that get made by the football department, and Brady and Scotty Clayton and, you know, Glenn Luff and others will make that decision about the relevant players in due course. But what I would say is that we've got a very, very clear, concise, methodically put together list management strategy, and I've got great faith that if we execute that well, and I've got no reason to believe we won't, under the steerage of Scotty Clayton and his team, that we will match, you know, new recruits, whether they come through the draft or free agency, to an exciting group of young players and some experienced and very talented veterans. So I think what we've seen, you can rebound pretty quickly if you get the right decisions made, and I've got great faith and confidence in the team that's now making those decisions.
Ben, North Melbourne fans will be delighted to hear that you've got a strategy, a list management strategy that you're putting into an action. Can you tell them what that is without giving away state secrets? Are you going to the draft for the next 5 years and building from within? Are you going after free agents? Are you going to trade for middle-aged guys in the prime of their career from other clubs? What is it?
Well, I think, Sam, you've been around the game long enough to know that it's never just one of those things. It always has to be a combination. I think I've seen many people say that in recent times. Clearly we've got a strong position in the draft this year, but you always look to add to that through, you know, free agency or players that have been delisted from other clubs. So it's never one particular approach. But what I can say is I think the way the guys have gone through reviewing the profile of our list in terms of age and capability relative to where successful teams who have had sustained success are now and have come from, we've certainly got a clear approach to how we want to adopt our list management approach.
You're listening to Sports Day. The other voice you're hearing is Ben Buckley, who is the chairman of the North Melbourne Football Club. Ben, the club was strongly criticised for its lack of process when hiring its coach in Reece Shaw this time 12 months ago, or it was actually a little bit longer than that. Have you learnt from your mistakes, and what will be the process this year?
Well, I've heard that said quite often, Sam, and let me respond to that. There was a process put in place last year. We looked at a long list of candidates. Some of those candidates that were very high on our priority list chose not to pursue the opportunity, so they didn't ultimately get interviewed. And frankly speaking, we had a coach who had taken over the reins and was doing an outstanding job. I think Reece's winning percentage in the last half of last year, and even the first two games of this year, was about 70 to 75%. And our team, you know, really responded well to Reece and the way he approached it and his relationship with the players. So, you know, we had someone in effect doing a live interview in front of us, and ultimately he was the choice that we thought was best to take us forward. Can you learn from the process? Absolutely. There'll be things that we will do differently in this process that we may not have done last time, and you know, we'll announce that in the next few days. So, you know, I would say that there absolutely was a process in place last time. Can we learn from it? Can we learn from others? Absolutely, we will. We'll put that in place soon. And I'll announce that in the next few days.
Will Paul Roos be part of that process?
Well, I won't comment on individuals who will be part of that. That would be remiss of me to do so, but clearly there will be some internal members from our board and our executive, as well as we will bring some people from outside of the club who have a huge range of experience, both in football and also, you know, in understanding organisations and how you select people who will ultimately be successful.
And Ben, Eddie Maguire, I'm not sure if you saw the comments, I think it was a week ago on Channel 9, said that, I think his quote was, you should take the deal and go down to Tasmania where you play 11 games and then the rest of your games elsewhere. How do you respond to that to your North Melbourne members?
Well, I'll respond a couple of ways, Sam. One, I'm not sure what deal Eddie's referring to. There's nothing that's ever been presented to us about moving to Tasmania. So if it is, it certainly didn't come to the board table that we sit around. Frankly, that sort of conversation, which I didn't see those comments from Eddie, but if they have been made and others have picked up on, then, you know, I'd say they're just not right. I've said consistently and I've said repeatedly, North Melbourne will be based in North Melbourne. It will be based at Arden Street. We have a fantastic opportunity with the redevelopment that's going on in and around the Arden precinct. Over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, there'll be an additional 20 to 30,000 people living and working in the area. We've got some plans on foot to take advantage of that and be part of that community. So, as I've said to our fans and our members, Arden Street will always be our home.
And just moving on from that particular element, last night we spoke about this notion of a destination club, which has been filtering through footy for a fair period of time now. It's a transitory thing. You can have it and it can go in a blink of an eye. And but it's very difficult to build, and you don't build it overnight. What is it? What attributes of the Kangaroo outfit do you see, Ben, that need to be highlighted to others and for you to build on to turn your club into what is now known as a destination club?
Well, I think you sort of hit it on the head in your opening comment there, Gerard. I mean, sometimes one club might be more of a destination club than another because of where it sits in the cycle of where it sits on the ladder and its prospects on the ladder. It doesn't make the other clubs not worthy clubs or clubs that players shouldn't come to. I think as it relates to North Melbourne, you know, we're a club with 150-year history. We've got a strong identity through the shin boner culture, which we strongly believe in and our players believe in. We've got a young, exciting list coming through. Wasn't our greatest year this year, but we've got a lot of exciting young players, and you mix that with some older, experienced players, and ultimately about getting, you know, great characters into the club. That's and building a really strong, positive environment for players to come into. That's ultimately what will attract players, and we believe we can do that over the next couple of years.
What's the time frame for appointing the coach?
Yeah, good question. We will take the right amount of time to get it right. We won't rush. Obviously, there's some practical issues with the new season coming up, but we won't rush it. So over the course of the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, we'll work through the process and hopefully make an appointment, you know, broadly within that time frame.
That was all for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Good of Ben Buckley to come on, Jared, in what has been a it's been a pretty chaotic month, I think is probably the word for it for North Melbourne. There are other words you could use, but you know, given the personal and sensitive natures of what's going on with Reece Shaw, but it's not just the coach.
No, from a footy club's perspective, Scoop, it's been a bloody disaster. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, what's happened with Reece is really sad, but we're with him all the way, and hopefully he will rebound and still keep contributing to football at some other level. Mm. But it won't be at North Melbourne, and now North Melbourne have got to get themselves organised. They didn't go through a process last time. They've got to go through a process, even though it's late in the day. They've got other people there. They have got some experienced people there. John Blakey's there. Scotty Clayton's an experienced person.
Yep.
Glenn Luff is an experienced person looking at the data that enables you to pick players. I mean, Brady Rawlings is not an experienced CEO, but he's an experienced football person.
Football manager.
And this is all about football
manager,
right now.
Brady Rawlings.
Football manager,
yep.
Indeed.
Yep. Benamafio.
Benamafio.
He's a new footy CEO. Yep. Yep.
And, you know, there'll be questions asked about processes, et cetera, but they got to learn from last year.
Yep.
You just don't go out and appoint somebody because, as we discussed with Ben Buckley, if they had gone through a process, maybe these issues wouldn't have arisen.
That's all for us here on Sports Day. Jared's off tomorrow. He's going to be enjoying his day off doing absolutely nothing.
I'm going to be avoiding the drones.
As if the drones would come into your backyard.
They could go anywhere. They could go anywhere. I've got an air rifle ready, I can tell you now.
Good on you, Jared. Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the weekend. You
go
and
Cats.
I will next speak after Graham. Oh, you changed your tip again, have you?
I haven't changed the tip. Have a look at the couch.
I'm going to get the audio out. You were tipping Richmond before.
Yeah, no, that was a blooper.
Oh, I see. Right.
Then I went back to Monday.
See, this is why Jared actually never, ever loses tipping. Because he
has a bit each side.
He has a bit each way. Enjoy the grand final, Jared. It'll be myself and racing expert Andrew Bensley to join us on Sports Day tomorrow. He's going to co-host in the chair with me. Big day of racing for the Cox Plate. Mm. We'll see you tomorrow.